Blog Talk Radio.
Another day, because you didn't have to give it to me. And Lord, I promise not to throw it away. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thanking God. And a word from this morning, I have a prayer to start us and a prayer to end us today. And a prayer to start us is move me. Because our title today is the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The 27th Psalm, verse 1. Praise the Lord. And it says, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary, scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Matthew 9:36, New King James. And it says, Jesus, I have so much to learn from you, a lifetime's worth, and then some. The levels of compassion that you move in when you walk this earth are astounding. I know that I must be connected to you to know true compassion for others. And oh, how much more compassion I need in my life. It is so easy to shut off kindness in favor of comfort and apathy. It is easier to live in a bubble of disconnectedness to people's pain and poverty, remaining distant enough to recognize it, but not let it upset my comfort. However, you didn't call your disciples into a life of ease or comfort. I invite you today, Lord, to upset my convenience and to fill me with compassion for those who are lost and scattered around me. I want to share in your heart for the weary and broken, offering love where others just keep moving around them. Move my heart. Lord, it is open. And a question for the day as we start our word this morning. Can you make space in your day to allow for God to move your heart in compassion where you would normally brush past it? Just something to think about this morning as we go into our word. Father God in heaven, we thank you for another day. We thank you for being our light, for being our salvation, for being our joy, our peace, for bringing love into this world through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for everything that you do in our lives, Lord God, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But we know that everything that happens in our lives happens for a reason. Father God, I lift up the Spencer family and Nun family that has lost a loved one, God. I ask you to watch over them, to bless them, to give them grace, God. But we know that you, God, are in charge of everything. And we also know that absent from this earthly body is in the presence of you, Father God. So, Father God, I lift up all those that are bereaved today. But you know each and every one by name. And you know the hair on each and every one here, God, that has been called to heaven with you. So, Father God, I thank you again for the joy and the peace that you bring to your Son. And through our life, God, thank you for the sustaining blood of Jesus that flows through our veins. for he is the propitiation of sin. He took it to the cross, God. He took all of our sin to the cross that we may have opportunity for eternal life. Father God, I want to be on the right hand with Jesus. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Father God, I lift families. I lift up our children. And I thank you, Lord God, for all the children that are at the table of life ministries, God, each and every one. We thank you for a great day at the museum. And, Lord God, I ask a special blessing over Prophetess Nalo and her husband, Pastor Darryl, God. Watch over them and bless them, God. Bless their ministry, God, as it grows, God. For you know every plan that you have for our life, God. So watch over your children. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, we lift up this word, God, thanking you again for another day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, he is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. And I can't do nothing more than just say thank you. Because God woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Whoo, hallelujah. We're just grateful. And as I go out into our word this morning, for those that are just joining us, we are in the 26th Psalm, starting at verse 6 through verse 12. And we will be in the 27th Psalm, starting at verse 1 through verse 10. Our proverb today starts in Proverbs chapter 10, starting at verse number 8, ending in verse number 12. And we are in Mark chapter 4 this morning. And we will also be in Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 1 through verse 20. So please get your Bibles. It's time to go to work. Hallelujah. And our word this morning in our 26th Psalm says, I will wash my hands in innocence. So I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all your wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Do not gather my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloodthirsty men, in whose hands is a sinister scheme, and whose right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My foot stands in an even place. In the congregation, I will bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I will bless the Lord. 27th Psalm, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked come against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumble and fail. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. But in the time of trouble, hallelujah, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in the tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hallelujah. I will sing praises to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me. Seek my face. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me. O God of my salvation, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Hallelujah. The Lord will take care of me. Can you give God some praise this morning? Knowing that the Lord will take care of you. You don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. For the Lord is, the Lord is my light. The Lord is your light. The Lord is our salvation. Whom shall we fear? Nobody. Because when God is with us, who can stand against it? Hallelujah. I'm just filled up. This word has already touched my heart. I will sing praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And as we go into our proverb this morning, we are in Proverbs chapter 10, starting at verse 8. The wise in heart will receive command, but a prattling fool will fall. Don't be a prattling fool. Somebody always running off at the mouth. That's something to say all the time when you need to keep your tongue behind your teeth. Everything you don't need to go taking it to the phone, you got to take it to the throne of grace because God is in charge of everything. Sometimes we get all in our feelings, as the kids say, that we forget to get into God. We got to get into God and get out of the feelings because sometimes your feelings can get you in all kinds of trouble. And it says, he who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Come on now. You don't want to get a bad reputation because you talk too much. As the song, the rappers used to sing back in the day, you talk too much. Homeboy, you talk too much. You never give up. You talk too much. Sometimes we need to be quiet and go into that place, that contemplative place with God. And then it tells us in Proverbs 10 and 12, he who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prattling fool will fall. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stares up sight, but love covers all things. Be careful. Don't get caught up. That's all I can say. Don't get caught up in foolishness. You know, let's shake that mess off and keep it moving because God's in charge of everything. He's in charge of our good, like I said. He's in charge of our bad, and he's in charge of the downright ugly. But the one thing we know, that he sustains us, that he loves us, and that he will bring us through. Whatever you're going through, trust God to bring you through. And as we go back into our Psalms and Proverbs, here are some life lessons, something to think about. And it says in the 26th Psalm, verse 12, in the congregation, I will bless the Lord. That just touches my spirit. Some believers say, I don't need to go to church. Oop, bam, did y'all hear that? Ouch, it came from me. Oop, that was an ouch, a loud ouch. That shoe was sitting real tight because that was me. I don't need to go to church. That was my word. Jesus said, I get along just fine on our own. Jesus and I get along just fine on our own. Dr. Stanley is all up in my business, y'all. All up in my business because that was me about 20 years ago. That was me. All up in it. As he said, some believers say, I don't need to go to church. Jesus and I get along just fine on our own. I know the Lord. I study at home. I don't need to go to church. Out. That shoe is tight. And it's there. And then Dr. Stanley says, but the Bible never endorses such a spirit. It always teaches believers coming together for worship and mutual encouragement. I was this one. That was me. You know, I don't need to go, And some people get on my nerves. All of the hypocrites are all up in there hooping and all talking about how much they love Jesus for talking about folks and doing all kind of stuff. I don't need to be a part of that. And folks thinking they know everything and nobody knows anything but them. Understand, I don't need all of that. I can worship right, just me and Jesus and D.E. Patterson. We got it going on. I don't need all of that. You know, I was one that I used to sit on Sunday morning and watch D.E. Patterson. My praise and worship came from Bobby Jones' gospel. So I would watch Bobby Jones' gospel, get my praise and worship on. Then I'd make sure I take D.E. Patterson, and I watch D.E. Patterson to get the word and get my shout on. I didn't need to go to church. That was my thought process. But then God will send somebody to pull you out of that comfort zone, to pull you out of your mess. You know, sometimes, you know, you're like, I wish this person would just leave me alone. I don't need all of that. But God, he knows when he calls you, and he's going to call you out of darkness. He's going to pull you back into his marvelous light. That's just what God does. And all you can say is, thank you, Lord, for salvation. Don't get caught up in, like I did, in that I can do it myself. I don't need these people. I am fine. Come on now. My foot stands in an even place in the congregation. I will bless the Lord. We need to be in the congregation of God. Blessing God. Morning. The life lesson. The Lord is my light, my salvation. Whom shall I fear? We don't need to be afraid of the dark when the Lord gives us his light. We don't need to fear the power of enemies when we walk in the power of God's spirit. Perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18. Say it again with me. Perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18. That means we are secure because we know God's perfect love protects us no matter what our circumstances may be. God got you. When you're walking into that place where you're just not sure, just keep saying to yourself, God got me. God got me. God got me. And when you believe it and know it, that God got you, you don't worry about everything else. The Lord is my life and salvation. Whom shall I fear? Nobody. Because God got you. Hallelujah. And as we go to the 27th Psalm, verses 4 and 8, how can I get to really know God is what Dr. Stanley says in this life question. And, you know, like I said, I've been there. It says, did you know that God wants to show you more of himself every day? He does. He wants a living, vibrant relationship with you. In the 27th Psalm, verse 8, it says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Are you seeking after God with all your strength? Does your time with the Lord revitalize you? I can say, yes, it does. Or does it feel more like a ritualistic experience? To better know God, these are some things. Get your pen, get your pencil. Get your writing implement. To better know God, you must come to him honestly, confessing your sins and inviting Jesus Christ into your heart requires you to be vulnerable. Yet it is the best decision anyone can ever make. Hallelujah. You must stand your reliance upon him. You must come to the point where you understand that God is your only source of comfort and power. Number three, you must become interested in what interests him. Has a desire for spiritual insight and godly wisdom declined? If so, ask the Lord to restore your longing for him and for the things that most concern him. Number four, you must know his word. Come on, y'all. You must know his word. By reading the Bible, you open your heart to him. He has given you the Holy Spirit to help you interpret his word. And he wants you to meditate on it so you can apply it to your life. That's what God wants us to meditate on, his word day and night. And then it tells us number six. You know, hold it. Let me go back more. It says, Number, you must observe his characteristics and ways. Read the promises that God makes in his word. Ask him to remind you of how he has already worked in your life. When you start going back and thinking about all the things that God has done for you, but then you also think about all the stupid stuff you've done in your, done yourself, you know, and then you have to say, Lord, forgive me for being stupid. Forgive me for not listening. Forgive me for not walking in the way I needed to walk. But, Lord God, you know everything. You see everything. You know the demons came out and started mad. And, Lord, I ask you to please forgive me for being stupid. We got to ask God for being, to forgive us for stupidity. Forgive us for making wrong decisions in our life, going around the wrong people, doing the wrong thing. We got to ask for forgiveness, and we got to understand the characteristics, observe his characteristics and his ways. Before you do anything, take it to the Lord. And don't let anybody knock you off your square. I think about all the things I could have done differently years ago, and I didn't. And now I regret it, but it's too late. Got to shake it off and keep moving forward. And it says you must accept his invitation and follow his commands. God is constantly inviting you to walk with him. Give the Lord total control of your decisions, your time, your talents, and your possessions. Your knowledge of God grows as you increasingly recognize his love for you. God delights in your joyful praise and worship of him. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Ooh, that's a word. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. As you get to know God on deeper levels, your ability to trust and obey him will increase. You will find your life's fulfillment when you come to know and exalt the Lord of all creation. So just an overview one more time. How can I get to really know God? Number one, you must come to him honestly. Number two, you must understand your reliance upon him. Number three, you must become interested in what interests him. Number four, you must know his word by reading the Bible. Come on now. Number, observe his characteristics and ways. Read the promises that God makes in his word. Number six, you must accept his invitation and follow his commands. Hallelujah. God is constantly inviting you to walk with him. Are you walking with the Lord this morning? Are you taking it to the throne? Or are you taking it to the phone? Something to think about. Take a look at yourself. We got to take a look at ourselves. And if we know we're wrong, like I said, this girl had to come to the realization that she was totally out of order. Miss, I don't need to go to church. I don't need all of that hoopla and holler. I don't need any of that. Me and Jesus are just fine. I can watch Joel Osteen. Because back then, you know, it was the 700 Club, you know, TTL, all of those things. And I had to come to the realization, Lord, forgive me. I have been out of order. And when you're out of order, God knows it. And then all of the demons start attacking. You got to learn how to get back in order with God so that those things that come in the night will take their little happy behind right back to the pit of hell from whence they came, because they will find that you are covered by the light of Jesus. You are covered by the light of the world. You are covered by the grace of God. And no demon in hell shall prevail over you. You are covered. And all it does is make the devil mad, but it don't matter because we don't really care how he feels because we know who we belong to. God is so good. And we got to remember that God loves everybody. He loves the sinner. He loves everyone. And that's why it's so important that all we do is love him back. And as we go into chapter 4, we're going to start in verse number 1. And I'm going to come out of the NIV this morning. And it says it's the parable of the sower. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parable. And in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plant so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced the crop. Some multiplied 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they may turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Y'all catching that? Farmer, I guess I'm a farmer this morning. Because I'm sowing the word. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Snatches it away. They are in church. As soon as they walk out the door, the word is gone. And if you say, what did your pastor preach about today? They can't remember. It's always a good word. That's all they can say. But they cannot tell you what was actually spoken. Because the enemy, as soon as they walked out the door, took it and ran. And then it goes on to say the next one, it says, others like seeds sown on rocky places hear the word and at once receive it with joy. Those are the folks joining the church first time they ever walked through the door because the word was so good that it convicted them and made them walk in to the light they came. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. How many times seen this? How many times have we seen folks coming and doing that? And that it just, takes it away. You know, they so joyous, they so filled up, they join the church, they come for a few Sundays, and then you don't see them anymore. And it says they hear their word and once receive it with joy, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or affliction comes, because of the word, they quickly fall away. There are others like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Know the word. Sometimes they come, and then they get tired because, you know, the game is on. Got to get ready for the World Series. Got to get ready for the Super Bowl. Got to get ready for the All-Star game. Got to wash my car. My kid has a little league game. My son has a JFL game. My daughter has a volleyball game. This person got that. Everybody got something going on, but they can't make time to come to the house of God. And then it says others like these songs on good soil. Hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. That's what we want to do. We want to reap the harvest of that sown seed. We want to reach it. We want to get it. And then Jesus goes on to tell us, a lamp on a stand. He said to them, hold on, I think I might be going a little too far. Let me double check myself, because I know I am all right. Yes, I am. Thank you, Jesus. Because we're going to be going into chapter 5. Hallelujah. Ooh, this word is too good. That's why I can say it's just too good. Hallelujah. I love the word of God. I can't help myself. I get giddy for Jesus. And he said to them, do you bring in a lamp to put it under a bowl or a bed? And I like the King James word. It says, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed? Or a New King James, under a basket or under a bed. And they say in NIV, under a bowl or a bed. Instead, don't you put it on its stand. Whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone is here, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear. He continue with the measure you use. It will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And it says, parable of the growing seed. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up. The seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. And, you know, it's so funny. I am not great with plants, I'll just be quite honest. I forget to water them, and they look at me, and I look at them and keep it moving. And I have to come back, and my grandson, you know, will put you on blast. And so he comes every Thursday to my house, and he comes in, and he says, he just looks at me and says, you're killing my plants. I'm like, and so he gets his water, and he gets out his little plant food, and he puts it all together, and he waters my plants every Thursday. And then the other day, well, just a couple of weeks ago, I had a plant that had died, and so it was dead. So he pulled off all the dead leaves off of it. And the next thing I know, he had picked up my pot with the seed in it. And he says, I'm taking it home because you killed it, and I'm going to make it come back. I'm going to make it grow. So he took my really nice, I mean, when I talked, it was a really nice pot with a plant in it. And he took the whole thing and left, put it in the car with him. And when his mama came to take him from me, he got out of his car seat, picked up his plant, and took it and put it in his mama's car and looked at me and said, I'm taking it home. And all I could do was laugh because he was taking that plant home to make it grow because grandma had let it die. So I was like, whew. I said, this baby knows his stuff. It's all up. And then it goes on to tell us. And again, he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Or what parable shall we use to describe it? And he said, it is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the words to them as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without saying, using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. And as we go through the word of God, it is explained to us. And then Jesus calms the storm. You know, when we go through the storms of life and we think we're going to perish, all we got to do is call on the name of Jesus. And it says that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side, leaving the crowd behind. They took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious big time storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. But I like the King James and New King James. And I love it. It says, then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. and the wind ceased, there was a great calm. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? They ought to know who he was. They ought to have known that he was who he said he was, that he was the Son of God and that he could do all things. But they, come on now. And if we go back into number chapter 5, and we're going to be reading chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. And it says this, they went across the lake to the region of Gethsemane. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot. But he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. He was a cutter. And if you see your children cutting themselves or cutting, anybody cutting, they got a demon, and you need to be praying for that demon to be removed from them. Cutters have demons, and you got to pray them out. You got to anoint, you got to bind, you got to pray them out. And then it says, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In God's name, don't torture me. But Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you impure spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. We better understand that we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And I'm sorry, I am going all the way to verse number 20. And it says, now a herd of swine was feeding there near the mountain. So all the demons begged and said, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. Now understand, this man, this one man, had 2,000 demons in him. Think that through. That's why they couldn't bind him. That's why they couldn't hold him. That's why he had supernatural strength. Because he was covered in supernatural beings, at least 2,000 of them. Come on now. It says, so those who fed the swine fled. They told it in the city and in the country and went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion setting and clothed in his right mind. Come on now. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion on him. He said, and he has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. Wow. What an awesome and mighty God we serve, that even the demons tremble. They get upset. But you think this through. This man had 2,000 demons in him, a legion of demons. He had no way this man was tell you this. When you know you got someone that has strength and you're like, why are they so strong? They're only X number of years old. And you have seniors that they call it down, sundown. They are great during the day when the light is shining. But when darkness comes, they get combative and they have, like, it's almost like their whole countenance changes. And, you know, we think it's Alzheimer's, but I think that sometimes you need to pray that spirit out and say, I know who you are, and you cannot have this person. You cannot have them. Go get out. In the name of Jesus, you've got to go. Because I believe that sometimes when we think of Alzheimer's and we think of mental illness, when you have somebody say, I hear voices, we need to take it serious. Because that is a demon, and we need to pray it out. We need to anoint. We need to do our job as people of Christ. We've got to pray. Prayer changes all kinds of things. In the name of Jesus, I bind those spirits of interruption and those spirits that try to distract. There are distraction spirits. There are those that will come at you in all kinds of ways. And we got to learn how to pray. And if you don't know how to pray, get a Bible, get a book, get something that you will learn to pray. There are all kinds of prayers on YouTube. If you just need to pray, go to YouTube. There's a channel that gives you and sends you a prayer a day. And it binds all kinds of spirits. It gives you scripture to back it up. So if you don't know how to pray, then you go where you can get a prayer through. You call in a friend that you know is a prayer warrior. You pray together. When we pray together, more prayer, more power. And we got to learn how to pray. And as we go back through Mark chapter 4 and Mark chapter 5, in Mark chapter 4, verse 9, it says, he was ears to ears, let him hear. Do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth? In the name of Jesus, I bind that distraction spirit. You know, you have, when you tell someone, I'm doing something, and then they just keep bombarding you with messages and stuff, that's distraction. And we got to bind that distraction spirit in the name of Jesus. And it said, God does not force any of us to hear his words or listen to his counsel. He may employ a series of uncomfortable situations to try to get our attention. But whether we choose to hear is entirely up to us. Don't let the distraction spirits take you off your square. You got to bind and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You are not distracting me today. I got work to do for the Lord. And you go on to go to work. You go on, if your work is being an intercessor, then you intercede and you pray. If your job is to teach, then you teach. Whatever you are supposed to do, even if it's just giving an encouraging word, do it. Just do it for the Lord, because God is watching us. We are in a fight, and souls of men, especially our children. The enemy is after our children, and we got to pray him out. And it says in Mark 4:17, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble, and we have seen it in our churches. All of us need the help and encouragement of others to grow in our faith and send our root deep into the soil of God's grace. We cannot endure on our own. We need each other to advance in our faith. We need each other. We need each other. Can I say it again? We need each other. And in Mark chapter 4 verses 35 through 41, when it says how adversity reveals our level of faith. When hardships come our way, do we respond, God, I trust you to bring me through this? Or do we tend to say, I'm doomed. There's nothing anybody can do. God once sent a storm on the Sea of Galilee to teach Jesus' disciples a lesson on faith. Jesus had said to his men, let us cross over to the other side, Mark 4:35. And they should have taken his statement as a sure sign that he expected a safe trip. But when a terrible windstorm threatened the boat, terrified disciples asked Jesus, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How many times have we said the same thing? Don't you care, Lord, that this is happening to me? Don't you love me enough, Lord, to do something about this hardship? Jesus rebuked the wind, and immediately a great calm settled on the lake. Then he turned to his disciples and said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? God has given to each one of us a measure of faith, Romans 12:3. And he expects us to use it to overcome our fear. Fear always accompanies adversity. In fact, a degree of fear is what makes something an adversity instead of just another experience. Fear causes us to project the very worst that can happen, that we will never recover, that all hope is lost, that we will never again enjoy some measured thing. Faith tells the opposite story. Faith says that God is in control and that all things work together for our good. Ooh, Romans 8:28. That's my scripture. Faith says that we will recover and that will be better than anything we have experienced thus far. Allow adversity to call your faith to action rather than into question. Adversity reveals areas in which you need to act in faith and not fear. When hard times come, say to yourself, now is the time to use my faith in a new way. The more you use your faith, the greater it grows. And I can honestly attest, yes, it does. Thank you, Jesus. In Mark 4:38, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? How often do we say things like this to our Lord? When we get into some trouble, we question his love, not his ability. And yet, despite our lack of faith, he reaches out his hand and saves us. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of the Most High God. We are blessed beyond measure to be covered by the blood of Jesus. And as we go into Mark 5:5-9, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Do you tell people? Do you give a testimony about how good God has been to you? Do you tell others how good God has been to you? How he woke you up? How he brought you through? How he brought you through hurt, how he brought you through danger. You know, I never in my life would have said, Simone, the best thing that ever happened to me was having gallbladder surgery and having my gallbladder taken out. And why I can say that is them days that I had in recovery, I had them with my husband reminiscing and laughing and just having a great time of conversation with him, never knowing that those 2 weeks would be the last 2 weeks of his life. I had my surgery on October the 10th, and he died on October 23rd, 13 days later. And those 13 days, God gave us 12. To just be together, to have time together, to laugh, to cry, to reminisce. And I thank God every day for gallbladder surgery. There's sometimes you just got to say thank you. You don't know why you had a situation and you don't put it off. You know, I was in so much pain. I honestly thought I was having a heart attack. And the only thing I could do was pray for God to watch over my family. It was painful. And now, you know, and I tell you how we can be goofy. I was goofy. I worked 2 blocks from the hospital. But instead of going to the hospital, I drove about 10 more minutes to urgent care. And why? Because I didn't want to spend the money for the hospital. Because my copay for the hospital was more than a copay for urgent care, which is about stupid. Because what if I really was having a heart attack? I would have been dying for $250. Come on. God knows. He can show us how stupid we can be. But I'm grateful, again, for gallbladder surgery, my testimony, because it gave me time with the love of my life at that, my husband. But, again, God was always first, but he was next. He was my best friend. And as we go into this word again, it says, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Give your testimony. Let folks know who you are and what God has done for you. The former demonic really wanted to go with Jesus. He probably did not think it very compassionate that Jesus refused to let him do so. But Jesus' compassion is much more than merely being nice. Jesus said, you got to go tell folks where you was and what you came through and that you're saved, set free. And now you're filled with the Holy Spirit and not filled with demons. Come on now. If there's anybody that has a word that God has put in your spirit to share this morning, please don't hesitate to push the number one on your phone and your line will be open. And I have one more thing for us to think about in prayer. Tune to me. And it says, I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. Philippians 1 and 10. Hallelujah. We'll come back to that. We have a caller. 6962, your line is open. Good morning, Evangelist. How are you?
Good morning, Pastor Bridget. You know, ever since yesterday, this song has been in my heart. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Your message today was just like that, only in different terms. We have to give our all to God because he gave his all to us. He formed us. He made us to be mighty women and men of God, to serve him, to show others who he is in our life, and that he can do the same thing for them. We
Amen.
Have to understand we serve a mighty, mighty God. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Thank you
so much, Evangelist. Ooh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty, mighty God we serve. And I have Evangelist Shannon also on the line this morning. Good morning, Evangelist Shannon. Good morning, Evangelist Shannon.
It's Tracy.
Oh, well, good morning, Tracy. So sorry, I thought you were Evangelist Shannon.
Evangelist was just talking about that song that was put in her head, and I had to say something. Like last night, you know what I went through with the hospital and how I was in there, and I was in pain. God kept putting your song in my head, and it's still, even today, moving forward. I probably listened to that song like 30 times yesterday because I kept feeling my spirit. He kept saying, I'm moving forward. And
amen.
It touched me like I don't even know what. And then today, I'm feeling 100 times better. I'm still in pain. I'm going to be at church, but I'm 10 times better than I was yesterday.
Amen. Amen. What a moment he has brought me through. Such a freedom I found in you. You are a healer who makes all things new. And
uh-huh.
I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Praise hey. God this morning. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve.
God we
and
serve.
In our prayer this morning, it says, Father of love, I don't want to live an aimless life on a winding path to nowhere. Even if I never experience the success I hope for, if I live a life of love poured out to and for you, then there is purpose in it. Help stay on your path. That's why I like to say, stay in your lighted square, not wandering over to the wide path that leads to destruction. I want to know you and to choose you because you chose me and know me through and through. It's not about obligation, but of delight. Fill me with your joy that sustains through all seasons.
not superficial hopeful happiness that changes with circumstances, but deep joy that has known pain, walked through darkness, and come out the other side, where joy felt impossible in the depth of the dark valley and pain carved out a deep hole. Your love flowed in an enlarged joy's capacity. I see that life isn't about taking the easy road, but seeing your faithful love coming through in all of the turns and valleys and remaining connected and open through it. May my purity be found in living a life of continual surrender. I am yours. Do you tell God, I am yours this morning? Because God is in charge of everything. I am yours. Praise the Lord. And we do now have Minister Shannon. Good morning, Minister Shannon.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm truly grateful to be here on this day, to be able to come on. And I was listening. I was supporting you. Sometime I was in the room. Sometime I wasn't. So I didn't get everything. But God put it in my spirit, hallelujah, for us to stay plugged in to the purpose of God with our gifts, our talents that he has instilled within our vessels, which is his temple. Stay plugged in to the purpose of God, and you can't go wrong. You won't waver to the left nor to the right, but you will walk straightway as you follow Jesus unto the Father, our Father who art in heaven. Hallelujah. God bless.
God bless. Thank you so much, Evangelist Teresa. Excuse me, Sister Tracy, Evangelist Shannon, and for all of you that have joined us this morning who choose not to speak. But I just say today, don't forget who you belong to. The Lord is your light as he is my light. The Lord is your salvation as he is my salvation. Whom shall we fear? We should fear nothing when we know who we belong to. Don't go in doubt. Go in praise. Go in worship. Don't think what you're going through is the end of days. It's not. We all go through, but we all come through when we put our faith in the Lord. So tell God, thank you. And as our word says, who can you intentionally, the wrong word, about to go into next week, what can you surrender to God today? And I say, just surrender all. I surrender all. Have a blessed day, family. All to Jesus, I surrender. I surrender all. Thanking God for all of you. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Before we get out of here, as always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, and a word for this morning. Well, actually, I'll give you yesterday's word and this morning's word. Yesterday's word, I pray that the peace of God fills your home today, that the calm presence and comfort of resides with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a super Saturday. Have a super Sunday. And then a psalm, a proverb this morning from the 24th proverb, verse 3. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. We are building a house. Thank you for coming into mind this morning. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Let us go into the house of the Lord and worship. For today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, and remember that God loves you, and so do I, and there's nothing you can do about it. But may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Hey, Rita, it's a wrap. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.